Zdrasti, lovelies. I'm Valeria, and this is Have Murder, Will Travel. Hey, hey, everyone. What is up? I don't know why I said that so weird. Just feeling silly, I guess. Hope you enjoyed our trek to Germany last episode. This week, we're not going very far. We are going to Bulgaria. I said Zdrasti at the beginning because that is how you say hello in Bulgarian. May not have pronounced it exactly correctly, but I tried. I'm doing my best here. Today, we're going to be talking about a disappearance that might be murder, might not be. I love a good mystery. We are going to be talking about the disappearance of Lars Matonk. This guy has been called the most famous missing person in the world. There is footage of his last known sighting, and it's been viewed millions upon millions of times. You can find it on YouTube. I watched it. It's chilling because you know those may be some of his final moments. If you want to check it out, it's not that hard to find. Let's take it back and talk about who Lars Matonk was and the days leading up to his mysterious disappearance. Lars Matonk was born in Berlin, Germany on February 9th, 1986. I just made him like 100 years older than he is. He grew up in the German state of Schleswig-Holstein, and that is where he lived his entire life. Lars worked at a power plant. He had friends. He had a girlfriend. Lars was an only child, and he was very close with his parents. His father had suffered a stroke, and Lars often went over after work to help his parents out. He just sounds like a really nice, sweet guy. And if you look at pictures of him, he looks like a sweet man. On June 30th, 2014, Lars went to Varna, Bulgaria with five of his friends. Ugh, I wish I was part of a friend group that just traveled together. I'm a great traveler, and any trip with me would be fun. This was 28-year-old Lars's first time out of Germany. The six friends stayed at a fancy resort called Golden Sands on the coast of the Black Sea. They stayed in Bulgaria for a week, and they had a great time. They're just doing all the things you would expect a group of young men to do on vacation. They swam, they ate, they drank, they went to clubs, they played sports, just having the times of their lives, you know, probably flirting with ladies or men. I don't know their preferences. Lars had a girlfriend, but I don't know about the rest of them. You know, they're just having a time. Good for them. They all said Lars was not acting weird, seemed normal, seemed to be enjoying himself. The only thing that was a little odd that they could point to later was that he didn't eat too much. In most meals, they said he'd have a bit of soup or a small salad. This must have been abnormal for him, for his friends to notice. And they're noticing it in hindsight, but none of them said anything at the time, which I wouldn't either. So your friend's not eating much. Maybe it's hot and they don't feel like it. Maybe they're trying to stay svelte for the beach. Maybe traveling upset their stomach. You don't know. It's not that weird. If they weren't eating at all, I'd be like, hey, are you okay? But they're just eating small amounts. I'm like, all right, I guess they're not very hungry. Maybe they don't like the local food. You know, his friends didn't do anything wrong here. That's not that abnormal. Unlike me, if you go on a trip with me, I'm going to eat enough for like four people because I want to try all the food. The friends were planning to wrap up their awesome trip on July 7th. The night of July 6th, they decided to have a final hurrah, and they went out to a bar. At the bar, Lars got into an argument with some other Germans. They were arguing about football teams, or for my American listeners, soccer. He liked one team. These other four dudes apparently liked a different team. Got into a bit of an argument about it. I feel like that probably happens at bars and sports bars pretty regularly. People get into arguments. I don't really get it because I'm not a sports gal, but people take that shit seriously. Cooler heads prevailed. Everyone kind of calmed down, and the friends, you know, finished out their evening at the bar. When they left the bar, though, Lars left his friends and walked off alone. His friends did nothing wrong here. I'm not by any means blaming them. But my rule when I'm on vacay, especially in a foreign country, is I don't let people go off alone. Just a little travel tip from me to you. Again, friends did not do anything wrong. He's a grown-ass man. He wanted to walk off alone. That's just my personal code. So he left his friends, went off by himself, went on what he was doing or where he went. His friends went back to the resort. The next morning, Lars showed up at the resort and he had been beaten up. He had a cracked jaw and a ruptured eardrum. So this wasn't just like a playful little scuffle. This sounds like a serious fucking fight to crack your jaw and rupture your eardrum. I saw a couple of different accounts of what he said happened. I don't know if his friends have different memories of it, if he told them different things. I'm not sure. Some sources say that he told his friends the four dudes from the bar beat him up, while others say, no, he told his friends that he had been beaten up by guys who were hired by the four dudes from the bar. Either way, he was beaten up, and it seems like it was over this football disagreement. And no matter which version is correct, that is a crazy overreaction to a disagreement over sports. I know people get cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over their favorite teams, but don't beat people up over it. What the fuck? I live near St. Louis, where everyone's huge Cardinals baseball fans, and the whole trend is to hate the Cubs. But we don't beat people up for liking the Cubs. We'll playfully go, hey, your team sucks or something, but hiring dudes to beat someone up? What the fuck? Such an overreaction. Lars went to a doctor because, he's clearly been assaulted. And the doctor was like, yeah, you can't get on an airplane because you have a ruptured eardrum. You know, when you fly without a ruptured eardrum, your ears pop and they can feel funny with the cabin pressure and all that. So it's definitely not a good idea to do that with a ruptured eardrum. Also, that just sounds fucking painful. Ear stuff just sounds awful to me. I got my first ear infection in my early 20s. Not a fan. Can't imagine having a ruptured eardrum. No fucking thank you. In addition to telling him not to fly, the doctor in Bulgaria gave Lars a prescription for an antibiotic, I guess so the ear wouldn't get infected. The friends still had to check out of the fancy resort that day, though. Lars checked into a hotel by the airport. A lot of reports were saying it was in a kind of slummy neighborhood, so not the best hotel, but it was cheap. It was by the airport. His friends offered to stay with him. They were like, we'll stay here too. We can all fly home later. And Lars was like, no, it's fine. I'll fly home tomorrow. Perfectly capable flying home on my own. Just go. So his friends flew home to Germany without Lars. Again, my personal code is don't leave people behind in foreign countries. But his friends did nothing wrong. Lars was fine, as far as they could tell. He was cognizant of his actions. He was like, hey, I can get on a plane tomorrow. I'm 28 years old. Okay. People fly alone all the time. Cool. We'll see you tomorrow. Unfortunately, none of them would ever see Lars again. Once Lars was alone at that seedy hotel, he seems to have become paranoid. He called his mom, Sandra Matonk, from the hotel, and he would only whisper to her, so he wouldn't even speak at a full volume. And in a whisper, he told her that people were trying to kill or rob him and she should cancel his credit cards. Like, he is whispering on the phone, mom. Like, can you imagine? A whispered phone call is always panicky. And then what he's saying to her, I cannot even imagine what she was going through. Like, no matter what, that's a terrifying phone call. If people really are after your kid, that's horrific. And you're in a whole ass other country, powerless to help them. And if no one is after your kid and they're having some kind of psychotic episode, that's just as terrifying. And again, you're just as helpless. This poor woman. She later told German TV, quote, I thought, God, my son is in danger. I could hear his heart pounding over the phone. He said people were trying to rob him or kill him. I hope someone gave her a hug. That just sounds awful. Security footage from the hotel shows Lars pacing the hallways, looking out windows. He was even seen hiding in the elevator. This dude was really scared that someone or something was after him. Was that really happening? Was it all in his head? I don't know. Lars left the hotel around 1 a.m. He returned about an hour later. What did he do between 1 and 2 a.m.? Great question. Nobody knows. In the morning, Lars's poor mother received another panicked phone call from him. He told her that the people pursuing him were getting closer. His mom later said, quote, in hindsight, I should have asked him more questions, but his cell phone was running out of battery, so our final conversation didn't last for long. I already said it, but this poor woman, now she has some kind of guilt, like she should have done more, but she did nothing wrong. This was a truly helpless situation she was in. And as far as she knew, he was going to get on the plane and come home, and then she'd be able to, you know, figure out what was going on. Is he being pursued? Is something not clicking right in his brain suddenly? I don't know. This poor woman. He did check out of the hotel and went to the airport. He texted his mom that he was at the airport. I'm sure she was relieved. She's probably like, oh, thank God, he's just got to get on the plane. I'll see him soon. He went to see the airport physician, Dr. Costa Kostov. I'm just going to take a moment right here and pause and comment on this doctor's name. Costa Kostov. It sounds a little fake, but also kind of cool. Like, I can't tell if it sounds like a lame Austin Powers villain or if I love the fucking name and want everyone forever to be Dr. Costa Kostov. Either way, it's a memorable last name. This doctor examined Lars. He said his ear was fine for travel. He could get on the plane. But he did say that Lars was acting nervous and erratic. Lars expressed concern about the medication he was taking. Now, at this time, the airport they were at was undergoing some construction because I feel like airports always have some kind of construction going on. So Lars is sitting in this doctor's office, and one of the construction workers from the airport walked in, probably measuring something, looking at some, who knows. He walks in and Lars panicked. He suddenly yelled, I don't want to die here. I have to get out of here. And then he ran out, like full on, sprinted out of the doctor's office. He left behind all of his luggage, which included his wallet, his phone, his passport, everything. This is the footage you can watch of him running out of the doctor's office. On the footage, he's seen sprinting out of the airport. He runs across to a fence, climbs the fence. You can't tell in the video, but reports said it was a barbed wire fence. He jumps the fence. Then he's seen crossing a like field, a meadow, and heading toward a forest. And that is the last known sighting of Lars Matunk, July 8th, 2014. He left with only the clothes he was wearing, yellow t-shirt, jean shorts, white sneakers. Like I said, you can find the footage easily on YouTube. You can Google it. It's not that hard. It's just regular footage and there's a dude running and it's like, oh, okay, that's weird. But when you know what's actually going on, it's chilling because those very well may be some of his last moments and it feels wrong to watch it. But at the same time, you want to watch it and see if you can figure out what was going on. I have so many questions, and we're going to get into some theories. My first question is about the fight that started all of this. Clearly, someone beat him up. He didn't fake a cracked jaw and a ruptured eardrum. Can't fake that. But who? Who did it? Did it have something to do with that stupid football argument at the bar? You know, was it those people? Did they hire someone? Or did poor Lars have the misfortune of running into some random violent person or persons? I think we need to track down who did the fighting because I want some backstory. And also, is it connected to his disappearance? My other burning question, and honestly, I might want the answer to this one even more, is where did he go that night when he left the hotel? Middle of the night, he just leaves, gone for a while, no idea where he was or what he was doing. Someone had to have seen him. Other people were out. Did he just go for a walk? Was he up to something? Did he run into people who were up to something and maybe they were trying to get him? Like, we gotta know. When you're making a timeline and there's an unaccounted period of time, that's where the key is, right? We know what he did that hour. Maybe we know what happened to him. Maybe it has nothing to do with his disappearance. You know, maybe it's just he went for a walk and came back. I don't know. I feel like it's the key and we need to find it. The police immediately started investigating. There have been years of police investigations from many different police forces. Bulgarian police, German police, Interpol has searched, and every one of them has come up empty. At one point, they had cadaver dogs out there. Nothing. His mother even hired her own private investigator named Andreas Gutig. He searched all the local hospitals and shelters. Nothing. Nothing has ever been found to explain where Lars may have gone, what may have happened to him. This, of course, has led to all kinds of theories, some more probable than others. I'm going to start with some pretty far-fetched ones, in my opinion. and then move to the ones that I think are a bit more likely. Although we have no idea, so I guess any of these could be what happened, or none of them are what happened. Of course, anytime someone goes missing, first thing people say is they ran away on purpose to start a new life. That has been mentioned as a possibility in Lars's case, but it seems highly unlikely. Lars had no reason to want to leave his life. He had good relations with his friends, like said he had a girlfriend, got along well with his family, had a decent job. Life was going pretty great for Lars, didn't seem to have any enemies or anything shady going on. So why would he just suddenly be like, I'm done with this life, gonna start a new one. And I get if you're going to do that, start a new life, you have to leave behind your ID and your phone because you're getting a new identity, you can't be tracked. But I feel like you would have taken something, some sentimental thing, maybe a picture, small token, something. I just don't buy that he left all of his things except for t-shirt and shorts. It doesn't seem likely that this was staged to start a new life. And I don't think the cops think so either because they keep investigating. Now, some people have theorized that maybe Lars was secretly involved in a criminal enterprise like drug trafficking or something of that nature. This would explain why his body has never been found, because those types of people know how to make people disappear. The problem with this theory is that there is absolutely no evidence to support it. Police have found nothing to suggest criminal activity in any of his belongings or his history. No one who actually knew him ever suggested anything like this. So I think we can throw that theory in the trash too. All these years, someone would have found some kind of evidence. Piggybacking off of that theory, there's been some people that have suggested that he and all five of his friends were involved in some kind of crime ring, and he was held back in Bulgaria as insurance or leverage so his friends would commit their criminal task or whatever, like the bosses wanted them to do something. This seems even more ridiculous to me than the last one, because this would mean that all of his friends were involved and have kept it a secret for almost 10 years. I get being scared of a criminal enterprise, but your friend is missing. You see his poor mother on TV looking for him. You'd have to confess whatever you knew, right? There's no way all five of them have kept it a secret this long. What's that saying? Two people can keep a secret as long as one of them is dead? No way five people can keep a secret. At least one of them would have cracked by now. Cool theory, bro, but thank you, next. Now we get to the kind of sad theories that have a bit more legs. A lot of people speculate that Lars may have been having a psychotic break of some kind. He was acting paranoid that night in the hotel. He had no history of mental illness, but that doesn't mean he couldn't have had his first psychotic break while in Bulgaria. What could have caused such a psychotic break? This is where the theories start to get a little interesting. Some people suggest that the fight may have actually caused the concussion, and in rare cases, a concussion can cause psychosis. The doctor that examined Lars obviously says he did not have a concussion, only the cracked jaw and ruptured eardrums. Eardrum, sorry, it was just one. But doctors have missed concussions before. Also, it makes sense if that is what happened, maybe this doctor would not want to admit that he missed it. So that's a possibility. The problem with this theory is that when a concussion does cause psychosis, it happens months or even years later, not the next day. It's not an immediate psychosis. So I guess we'll cross that one off the list. What else can cause psychosis? Drugs. An odd drug reaction. Lars and his friends were there partying and having a good time. Maybe they experimented with some illicit substances and Lars had a weird reaction. Not judging them if that's what they did. They're young guys out on a trip. Live your life. The thing is, though, none of Lars's friends ever mentioned any drugs. And again, I feel like if one of your friends was missing, even if you might get in trouble for the drugs, you come forward and be like, hey, do you think maybe that cocaine we did had something to do with it or whatever drug? I don't know if cocaine causes psychosis. I don't think they did any drugs on this trip. I think they were drinking and partying, and other than that, I don't think they were doing illegal drugs. Then some people point to the antibiotic the doctor prescribed. Did a deep dive, and it turns out some antibiotics have been shown to cause psychosis in rare cases. Kind of makes you never want to take an antibiotic. Lars even texted his mom about the antibiotic, and the airport doctor said he was asking about it and didn't seem to trust it. When I first read all of that stuff, I was like, well, oh shit, that's obviously what happened. Antibiotics caused some kind of psychotic episode, and that's why he was being kind of paranoid. There's one big problem with this theory, though. Lars never took the antibiotic. Dr. Kostoff said, quote, he didn't take those antibiotics. He didn't even fill out his prescription. So his behavior couldn't have been a result of that. I can't think of a single reason why he left my office in such a panic. I'm still confused. Well, fuck. I guess it wasn't the antibiotic? That leaves the heartbreaking possibility that Lars just happened to experience his first psychotic break during this trip, and it was the result of a previously unknown mental illness, such as schizophrenia or bipolar or something. If that's the case, it's very sad that he had this psychotic break so far from home while he was alone. But it still doesn't explain why he's never been found. That leads us to the next set of theories, the criminal ones. What if Lars was not experiencing a mental health crisis and was actually being followed? Told you I want to know more about that fight he had that caused those injuries. If that fight was really related to a football disagreement, could it have led to murder? It may sound far-fetched, but anyone who is willing to track you down after a minor sports disagreement and beat you up is not a stable, rational person. It's not that far-fetched to think that they would also want to kill you. It might sound crazy to all of us because we're all rational human beings, but people have been killed for far less. Just look at the U.S. right now. People are getting shot for knocking on doors or turning down driveways. Not completely outside the realm of possibilities that someone would murder someone over a bar argument. And then there's that time period he disappeared from the hotel. Did something happen then that led to his death? Maybe he saw something he wasn't supposed to and someone tracked him down afterward? While these unfortunate theories have a lot of legs, they don't explain why he ran from the airport. Did he think that construction worker was there to kill him? Did he see someone who was pursuing him and decide to run? In the footage, he's not looking back, though. Like, if you were running from someone, a lot of times you'd look over your shoulder or see if they were chasing you. He's not. He looks forward the entire time. So that's a little weird. But also at the same time, don't waste time looking back, right? Faster if you just keep looking forward. I don't know. There's also the possibility of some kind of combination of these last two scenarios. Perhaps Lars was experiencing a psychotic break, and that's why he ran. After running, he came across some unsavory characters, and they're holding him somewhere, or they murdered him because he wouldn't have been in a state to kind of defend himself if he was experiencing a psychotic break. All of these theories kind of suck. I like some of them, and I think one of them is definitely what happened. But they're all violent or sad or both. There is the chance, too, that Lars is still alive and he's out there somewhere just waiting to be found. I hope he is found. If nothing else, to give his poor family and friends some closure. Over the years, there's been many sightings of Lars. None have ever been confirmed. About a year after his disappearance, a truck driver claimed to have seen him hitchhiking there in Bulgaria. 2016 brought about the most hopeful potential finding of Lars. A man with no identification and no idea who he was turned up in Brazil, and a lot of people thought it might be Lars. There are pictures of this man that showed up in Brazil. It is a little similar to Lars, and so everyone was like, oh, we found him. Somehow he made it to Brazil. He's confused. The man was later identified as a missing Canadian named Anton Pulipa. I can't even imagine the roller coaster for his mom, the yo-yoing back and forth. He's been found. It's not him. It might be. It's not. The stress and the continuing trauma. In 2019, not that long ago, a truck driver said he gave a hitchhiking Lars a lift in Brandenburg, Germany. The truck driver didn't know about the case until after he gave him a ride. I guess he saw the flyers or something, and he was like, oh, fuck, I'm pretty sure I just gave that dude a lift. He told the police that the man he gave a ride to had long hair and a beard, prominent cheekbones, and he said his eyes looked tired, but he was sure it was Lars. This lead must have seemed credible to the police because they did end up following up. They searched the area, questioned people. Unfortunately, their follow-up turned up nothing. His mother is still searching. The case is still being worked by police and also amateur sleuths around the world. If you have any information, contact the German police. There's also a Facebook group. If you search Lars Matunk on Facebook, it's the first thing that comes up. It has almost 50,000 followers. So people actively care about this case. The page is still active. The last post was from last November, but that doesn't mean they've stopped looking. Next year will be 10 years since he went missing, and that is unacceptable. Someone, somewhere, knows what happened to this man. He died on his own. He's still out there. He was murdered. Whatever the case is, someone knows, and his family deserves to know. So let's figure this out. Come forward if you know. They deserve the closure. That is the disappointing end to our trek to Bulgaria. Was it murder? Is he still out there? We need to find out for sure. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at HaveMurderWillTravel. I always post pictures related to the case. You can follow the podcast on Facebook at HaveMurderWillTravelPodcast. Send me an email anytime at HaveMurderWillTravel@gmail.com. Tune in next week to see where we travel next. Until then, don't forget to explore the world and stay alive. Bye.